Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When Christians find themselves in need, they naturally pray for God to provide. When the answer is no, how we react is crucial. Remember, even no answers are still answers. God is fully aware of our needs and what's best for us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as Erwin Lutzer talks about the lessons we can take home when the answer is denied.
God says, "You walk close with me, whether your burden is heavy or light, I will be there to meet your need, and my grace will be sufficient. It will fill up what it is that you need to walk with me." So that's the first lesson. The first lesson is that burdens can bring blessings and do bring blessings. Secondly, burdens are specifically chosen for us. They are specifically chosen for us. Notice that the Apostle Paul says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." That's in verse 7. Well, thank you very much, Lord, for your gift. I was expecting something else for Christmas, quite frankly. God says, "Paul, this burden is for you, specifically." You know, all of my suits are bought just off the rack, but many years ago, more than 20 years ago, I was in Hong Kong, that great and wonderful city, and somebody convinced me to have a suit tailor-made. So I had that suit tailor-made, and it fit for a while. But afterwards, as the years went by, it began to shrink so horribly that there was no possible way that I could get into it, try as I might. So I think we've given it away. But here's the point I want to make. When God sends you a trial, it is not one just off the rack. It is tailor-made for you. Remember, you are number one on God's list of things to take care of in the universe. And so it is apportioned to you. Paul, it is given to you that you have this thorn in the flesh. This is yours. I have another one for others. But this is yours, Paul. Do you realize that God is specifically interested in you? He's not just interested in the body of Christ somehow namelessly. He's interested in the body, but he's interested in individuals. Earlier, the choir sang so beautifully, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly." My, how I love those words. Because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's relationship with Christ, and he is the lover of your soul, if you know him. And so what God wants is for us to walk with him and to know that burdens are specifically chosen by God for us. And then number three, most importantly, you can be changed forever if you listen carefully. Sufficient grace comes with sufficient faith. Sufficient grace comes with sufficient faith. Because here's what some of you are saying. You are saying to me, be honest now, I can read your minds like the innards of a clock. Be honest with me. You know what you're saying? You're saying God's grace isn't sufficient for me. You're like a widow by the name of Doris who loved her husband and he dropped over dead in his 40s. And she looked at other women in the church who weren't madly in love with their husbands and said to herself, "Why mine?" She parked her Buick in the church parking lot, dried her tears, came into church, sang the songs, did all the right things, got back into her car and wept all the way home saying, "Your grace is not sufficient, your grace is not sufficient, your grace is not sufficient." Some of you are going through bitter divorces. Some of you are in situations which, if we knew the details, we would be amazed at the pain that is represented in this room and in our wider audience on the radio and internet and what have you. We would be amazed at the pain out there. And there's some people saying God's grace is simply not sufficient. And the reason is because, and I'm not being judgmental because I've been there thinking God's grace wasn't sufficient. But the reason is because you and I simply do not have the kind of faith that embraces what God gives us and accepts it as from his loving hand, even if the devil is involved. And that becomes more complicated. I wish I could talk about that more. I don't want you to be misunderstood. We should not have anything to do with the devil, and I do believe in rebuking him. But instead of being able to accept our thorn and most gladly rejoice in our infirmities because we don't have the faith. What happened to Doris? She went into a prayer room in a time when the church was hot with revival. She stayed there an hour, and that's about a good length of time to get rid of the garbage, about an hour. And she spilled out all of her anger at God, her loneliness, and she said, these are her words, cartfuls of self-pity. And she came out and she used to give her testimony in churches around the country. And her theme was, God's grace is sufficient. You see, what you and I won't do, we will fret with God, we'll pray the same prayers over again, and then we investigate to see whether or not God is doing anything, and it goes on and on and on, and what we will not do is commit and accept. That we will not do. And God says, you know, for you, my grace doesn't appear to be sufficient. In the fall, I flew from Chicago to Frankfurt on American Airlines. Once you're on the runway and you're going up into the sky, you can holler, you can press all the buttons, and it doesn't make any difference. Nobody's stopping for you at this point. You're committed. There's a story of a woman who, for the first time flying, was frightened to death, looked out the window constantly at the motors, constantly fretting about the motors, until a young man said to her, "Lady, if you want to sleep, I'll watch over the motors for you for a while." But now let us suppose that I'm on American Airlines, and I say to the stewardess, I think that maybe, because now we're beginning to cross the ocean, I think that the pilots might fall asleep. Would you go and check to see if the pilots are awake? You know, years ago, before security was such a big issue, that was easier than it is today. And I can imagine that she goes and she checks and she says, you know, all three of them are awake. And I say, oh, okay. But a half an hour passes, and I say to myself, you know, people have fallen asleep in a half an hour. I've fallen asleep in less than a half an hour. And if one falls asleep, the other will get drowsy, and all three of them might be asleep. Waitress, I mean, not waitress, but flight attendant. You know, you're laughing, but they sometimes do the duties of a waitress, you know. I say, would you check to see whether or not the pilots are awake? And she does it again, and she comes back. 20 minutes later, I can't ask her to do that again because she'll think I'm a little crazy. So what I say is, could you tell me what time the flight arrives in Frankfurt? And she gives me the time, and then I say, well, you know, that's good. And are we on time? Yeah, we're on time. Well, you know, since you and I are talking, would you just check to see if the pilots are awake? Doesn't take long until she comes to me and says, look, I'll make you a deal. I'll pour you a cup of coffee if you go outside and drink it. And what she says, if she's really honest, is you are insulting our pilots. And you and I insult God day after day after day. We commit something to him, and then when things go bad and they get worse before they get better, we say, well, now what's God doing? So we wake up early and we spend 3 or 4 hours worrying before we get out of bed. And then we don't see God doing this, and we continue to pray, 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 and our prayers are nothing but an expression of our unbelief because we refuse to commit and we refuse to accept and to say, this has come to me from God. Thank you, God. I commit it into your hands. And I'm going to leave it there. And I'm not going to be checking every day to see whether God's awake and whether he's doing anything. God is saying to many of us, myself included, you let me do it. You wait on me and I will work for you. That's what the Bible says. And I will work for you. I'll work it out. But it has to be my timetable. It has to be my agenda. And what you are doing is you're coming to me with your timetable, your agenda, your self-will, your desire to run your life. And then what you're saying is, where's God's grace in all of this? Paul says, okay, it is a messenger of Satan. Okay, it does harass me. That's the word in the text. But I asked God, and God said no. But God says, Paul, I've got something better for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfect in weakness. And Paul says, I am so wholeheartedly committed to God. I believe in the greatness of God that this couldn't happen apart from his will, even if the devil is involved, that I'm going to accept it and I'm going to thank God for it. Most gladly, I will therefore glory in mine infirmities. And I'm not going to insult God by telling him that he's not doing anything. I'm going to leave that with him. So where are you today? What part of your circumstances or people have you not accepted? What stands between you and God today? Your husband? Give him to God. And then say good riddance. Your circumstance? You commit it to God. You're on the plane. And the pilot never slumbers or sleeps. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'll make us people of faith. So often we've insulted you because we've refused to give up the control of our lives. And then you've not come on board and we've blamed you. Give us, Father, that sense of faith that says, Lord, as I wait on you, I'll let you work for me. Oh, we need that, Lord. Grant it, we ask. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that even as I was praying, that you were praying along with me. I, for one, need to have that kind of faith, the faith of the Apostle Paul, who is willing to accept whatever God brought into his life. But you stay tuned next time, because we're going to be increasing our faith as we look into the Word and see what God does when we believe.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding When the Answer is Denied, another in a 6-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Next time, find out what to do when the answer disappoints. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the triumph of unanswered prayer. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.